Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Buffalo Bills Football Friday.
The toughest part, in my opinion, I mean, I think 20 does a good job of reading the quarterback in his drop. You know, his eyes are really in the backfield, and he's able to tell if a quarterback's speeding up his drop and trying to get out quick, ready to jump a route. And he's a very aggressive corner. He can play man. He can play in zone. You know, he's very good at route recognition, and it's going to be tough to win some matchups versus him. But at the same time, it's not time to shy away from anybody or anything. We understand, you know, whatever the defense gives us, we're going to take that. But he's definitely a problem to be dealt with, and, you know, we got to keep our eye on him for sure.
Since I came in the game, I done played against everybody. I done played at Richard Sherman. He was in Seattle. I done been against Patrick Peterson. I done been against, I would say, Darius Slay. You know, I've been against a lot of good guys. He's a damn good corner. But I've been seeing the best corners in the league since I stepped in. As far as, like, extra juices for him, I wouldn't say that, but you always want to be at the top of your game, just like any game. I don't go in against Miami preparing with the mindset of this Miami and this guy doesn't make as much money, so I don't have any juice. So I wouldn't say that it's like a juice factor, because I just want to come in and execute at a high level, no matter who's in front of me.
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
That is Stephon Diggs. Maybe Jalen Ramsey will be in front of him a lot on Sunday. Josh Allen talking about that matchup as well. Happy Football Friday. Jeremy's out. Nate's in. He's hanging out with us. He's even got the Buffalo cap he's wearing today for good luck for Sunday. We are breaking down the Bills-Rams game and want to hear from you too. You can share your opinion, give us a prediction, ask a question. 803-0550 to join us. It is M&T Bills Fan Football Friday. Are you the Bills' biggest fan? Tweet us your video at WGR550. Use the hashtag community of Bills Fan to be M&T's Bills Fan of the Week. M&T Bank, the official bank of your Buffalo Bills. Couple of bookkeeping notes, then we'll get into our Week 3 discussions. It is going to be a summer-like weekend in terms of weather. Today, tomorrow, and Sunday, we're going to be around 80, if not a little bit above 80. So enjoy the beautiful weather.
I'm going to play golf both days, today and tomorrow. I decided right now.
Yeah.
I won't be playing Sunday because...
Well, that's, you're kind of working Sunday.
A little bit.
In the morning.
All day. Thanks to you.
Yeah.
Thanks to you.
Yeah. You're welcome, by the way.
Yeah, thanks.
Thanks for doing that. That's a solid. I owe you.
You do.
You want like a couple bucks or anything while I got
you
here?
I will be here. You actually know when I'll be here. So feel free to drop in and bring a little... bring a little maybe lunch. Jonathan will be here too. So your son is here.
Yeah.
And then your other son is here. Me.
Yeah, you.
So
yeah.
Your two sons will be here.
Yeah. Have a good time. You don't have any debt, do you? Because as long as you're my son.
Oh, I've got a lot of. I've got some student loan debt. I've got some. Let's add it to the Howard tab.
Yeah, no thanks. Anyway, so fantastic weather. But guess what's coming after that? You know, we're in the hashtag elite season, and then of course winter's coming. You know what'd be really good? Hoodies. So if you can help out. Got a text from Jeremy yesterday. You know, they have these hoodies they have out for Jeremy's elite fall season, and they benefit a great cause. It's the Western New York Perinatal Bereavement Network. And if you go to, well, Jeremy tweeted out a link. If you follow Jeremy on Twitter, you can find it during on his tweets. Also, you can go to bonfire.com/elite season, and you can get a hoodie. Honoring fall as the elite season, as my partner would like to tell you. There's two hoodies to choose from. There are colors to choose from. It's going to a great cause. I think it's like $38, but you get a really cool hoodie. One of them's really neat with like a buffalo and a cat. Anyway, I digress. So bonfire.com/elite season. They're doing a lot of great sales on this. And as I said, it benefits the Western New York Perinatal Bereavement Network. So it goes to a great cause. If you get a chance, purchase one today for yourself or for someone else or both. Quick email, Preston Riddlehuber. David emailed us. We were talking about running backs through touchdown passes.
We
learned he is one of them in Bills history. David was at the game.
No kidding.
He says, Preston Riddlehuber in 68 or 69 threw an option pass to Haven Moses to beat Boston on a Saturday night. I was 15 and I was there.
That's an awesome, that's a great
about,
email.
About
that's
that,
a great
right?
email.
Preston Riddlehuber, and you were there to see some guy who I, whatever,
who
had like
little
a
did you
of
know,
games.
50 years later,
you know, right?
We'd be talking about it on the morning
and
show.
And you hang on to that piece of knowledge because you know 50 years later.
This is the most important moment of his life.
It's going to come up on a random Friday on a Buffalo talk show.
With a kid who's 28 years old who has never even remotely would have ever known about Preston Riddle Huber had we not had this discussion.
Run that by me again?
Did you? Yeah, no. I
thought you were over 30.
Oh, God. Jeez.
At least 30?
Come
on. At least 30? You're in the 20s?
I'm the same age as Brayton.
For God's sakes. All right.
You're surrounded by young men.
Yeah, right. Great. Well, let's keep him young. okay, so let's just move on to... anyway, we're taking your calls on Bills Rams. But, well, I wanted to move on to week three. Nate, there are some outstanding matchups.
There is.
This is a Sunday. In fact, you know what? I went through the whole schedule, and quite honestly, I can find at least one interesting storyline to justify every single game except San Francisco and the Giants. I got nothing for that game.
I was just looking at the game like, wow, that's bad.
Nothing for that game.
That's a bad one.
Like, that is the worst game.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a choice, if there were no games on but one, that was the only game, nothing else was on, and you had to choose that or go pick apples, I would tell you to go pick apples.
Oh, I'd pick apples. I mean, 10 times out
right?
of 10.
No Jimmy Garoppolo, no Saquon Barkley, no Sterling Shepard for the Giants, no Tevin Coleman, no Bosa. No, I mean, just stay away from that game. Other than that, I'm telling you, this is one of those days where when I was single and I didn't have to work Sunday game days, long time ago, Nate, Sunday was all about you wake up, you don't get out of your sweatpants. You just stay in your ratty clothing you've slept in the night before, and you order in pizza because you're never leaving the house. You watch football. You watch football at 1. You watch football at 4:30. You watch the highlight shows. Back then, it would have been like Chris Berman and Tom Jackson, who did a fabulous highlight show. And then Sunday Night Football. And you just never get dressed for the day. You never leave your apartment. You lay on the couch, and you have pizza delivered. Maybe I might run out and pick it up. It was only 5 minutes
away. So what you're doing right now on Sundays?
No,
so it's like a flashback.
No. I work Sundays. I actually get dressed, and I take notes and stuff. I'm talking about not having to do anything but be a fan and lay around and watch football.
And just be all your
just
only objective for the day is to be living. That is it.
Right, and breathing.
Yeah, and breathing.
But beyond that, the occasional trip to the bathroom. Beyond that, nothing. 1 o'clock Bills, 4 o'clock Dallas, Seattle, 8 o'clock Green Bay, New Orleans. That's our TV schedule here. But, and here, you know what we got to do? Nate, we got to talk to the NFL. They're going to have to make a change in the schedule. I need the Patriots games and the Bills games not at the same time. With Cam Newton, hate to say anything nice about
you got to scout.
They are now must-watch television.
They are.
And for two reasons. One, to see, and it's not necessarily a good thing from a Bills fan perspective, to just see what Cam is doing for that offense, but also... Hey, man, their defense, which was really good, just gave up 5 touchdowns to Russell Wilson. I need to see if that defense is really... We thought it would take a step back because of all the defections. Maybe it's taken a big step back. The Patriots are must-watch television right now.
They were always going to take a step back, even without all of the... their defensive backfield is really good, but it is getting old.
Seven too. Yeah, oh, I see what you're saying.
Their
right.
defensive backfield...
The McCourties,
even Gilmore's getting... I mean, he's, you know, reaching... The prime of his career. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, but they're playing at 1. But if you look at it, like, I think you've got the Bills game. Vegas, New England is a fascinating game. I won't see a
Super
second
fascinating.
Of it.
Yeah.
But because of Newton and what he did, what he's done the first 2 weeks. Week 1, his legs. Week 2, his arm, even though they lost. It's fascinating to watch Newton in that offense and to see if maybe the Patriots defense isn't very good, or it is really maybe it's a big step.
Listen,
the Raiders
they play
are playing the Bills the next week, and you know what? You want to talk about a team that's got a lot of offensive weapons to choose from, with Jacobs, with Waller, with Ruggs, with Edwards. If Carr's
how dare
on,
you not
my goodness.
Include Hunter Renfro?
Oh, I always you know what I loved him at Clemson. You're
love
right,
him. Love
when,
him.
And when they did Hard Knocks. I think that might have been his rookie year.
It was.
When they were on,
yep.
right? It was last year, mm-hmm. 2 years or 2 years ago. That's a very deep team. So
it is.
I think that is a great matchup.
Their offensive line's good.
No Richie.
Derek Carr, to me, though, isn't particularly good.
No, but if he's, like I said, it's almost like with those weapons, just don't screw it up.
Yeah.
Like, just find a way to distribute the ball to your playmakers and don't mess up, and they'll be good. And again,
don't
it
you
is,
dare give him the check down, though, because he will take it.
Yeah.
Oh, he will take it. You if you want to drop back in his zone coverage and take away, you don't have to take away the deep part of the field with Derek Carr because he doesn't really.
So
he doesn't
take
shots.
With a guy like Ruggs or the speedster like Ruggs, it's not that.
Ruggs
big
has had like five targets for two games. He has not been a very much part of the game plan. Either has Bryan Edwards, the other rookie wide receiver out of South Carolina, which a lot of people thought. It's been the Darren Waller and Josh Jacobs show.
If I recall, you were an Edwards guy.
I liked him a lot.
You talked him up when we were doing draft shows with you. Yeah,
I liked him a lot coming out. Yeah, he hasn't really been as big of a part of the game plan as I think a lot of people thought early on. Either as Renfro, really none of the receivers have stood out yet this year for the Raiders. It has been Waller, who is a stud. And Josh Jacobs had three touchdowns week one against Carolina. He's a guy who, entering the NFL, had never had 20 carries in a football game at Alabama, and now he has like something like double-digit 20-plus carry games in his career. He is turning into a workhorse for that team. That should be a fun matchup to watch. If nothing else, if the Patriots went 1-2, if they lost that game at home, they would arguably be one of the best 1-2 teams.
Yeah.
We'd be seeing, but also that would put the Patriots in the type of hole that I think the Bills need them to be in.
Yeah, I mean, go Vegas, you know.
I would love to see two 3-0 teams.
Well, that's
next week.
What I said, and then we'll worry about a Vegas unbeaten team the following week. We'd love, you know, you want to get New England some losses, and they're in. You know, we talked about their schedule a little bit. Not that we're going to pick the Patriots, but if you look at New England's schedule, they're in that. You know, they're in the difficult stretch now.
Yeah.
Things have changed a little bit with some injuries, but. So they opened with Miami, but then they go to Seattle. They lose that game. If somehow they lose to Vegas at home, okay, and they go 1-2, guess what their next game is in week 4? At Kansas City. Okay,
yeah,
I mean,
we're
all going to be seriously thinking, okay, 1-3. Now they come home, they play Denver. That probably was going to be a win no matter what, but I'm guessing now with
Jeff Driscoll
and no Cortland Sutton,
yeah.
You know, then they have their bye and then have San Francisco at home. Maybe by then, I would hope Garoppolo is healthy. But, you know, with all their losses injury-wise.
Nick Bosa.
Let's say if they lose to Vegas and they lose to KC 1-3, they beat Denver. Even if they beat Denver and San Francisco, they're no better than 3-3 coming here November 1st. So go Vegas.
Go Vegas.
But they're in a difficult stretch of their schedule when you talk about just New England. So, yeah, I think.
It's why these two games, it's for the Bills. Going 4-0 in the first quarter of the season is almost necessary. Like, it's almost 100% this is the necessary path for you to be where you need to be by December. Like, you've got to go. You got to get through the first quarter of the season 4-0.
Yeah, because then you're going to Nashville, and it's not Marcus Mariota anymore.
It is not.
Which would have been almost a guaranteed win.
That's right.
And then you've got Kansas City here. So if you could build up the steam. What else? I mean, I think anything else from the 1 o'clock games get you? Like I said, I think you could find a storyline, but I would tell you that the juicier game, of course, is the Dallas-Seattle game. Anything else from the 1 o'clock lineup?
I'm going to tell you that I think the Texans-Steelers game is an interesting one that I'll be paying attention to. The Texans, they go to 0-3. That is going to be a really interesting thing to watch.
Well, the GM's not firing the coach, right?
No.
Is he still the GM, too?
He still is the GM. They go 0-3. They're going to be in a really tough spot. Just organizationally. So that's something I'll be watching. The other game that I do find maybe brings me a little interest is Washington and Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland gets their bounce back victory last Thursday night. They've got the long break. Washington has looked better than I think a lot of people thought they would.
Yep.
And that includes, you know, the quarterback who now I can't think of his name.
Dwayne Haskins.
Thank
you. Oh, you were serious?
I was really serious. Nope.
Okay.
I was.
Hey, welcome to my world.
I was serious. I had a senior Howard moment.
It's not fun, is it?
No.
When you like, and all you just blank out, and you're like, yeah, okay.
Sometimes on Saturday when I'm here and I'm alone,
yeah,
and I'm just in the middle of talking, and then I'm like, ooh, I got to get to that one thing, and I'm like, oh, the thing I had to get to.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Go to break, yeah. Corey. Go to break.
The good thing is, so it happens like once every 5 months for you right now. It'll be every other day eventually.
Okay. Not looking forward to that.
Yeah. We'll talk.
4 o'clock games though.
By the way, in terms of our TV map, of course you get Bills Rams. We're going to get two late games. I can't tell you why you'd want to watch the Jets Indianapolis. Maybe it's a fantasy matchup for you.
You've got fantasy skin in the game,
and then the other late game we're going to get is Dallas Seattle. So the
which obviously everyone wants to watch that.
That's the game, right? Yeah. I mean, that is, I mean, Russell Wilson off to the start he is having, and Dallas, which was like an eyelash away from 0-2, but instead they win that game, and watching Dak and that offense play, that's a great matchup. And again, you can do a little scouting since the Bills will play Seattle later this season. You can watch the Seahawks for yourself, but that should be star power quarterbacks and a fantastic late matchup. I love that game. Look, Jeremy, this is where Jeremy would once again kid me about their my Cardinals. But I love watching Kyler Murray. I think that kid's electric. I really do. Even last season, I would watch whenever I could Red Zone just to see them cutting in and out of the Arizona Cardinals game, typically a 4 o'clock start. So I would tell you that Detroit, Arizona is interesting because of Murray and actually to see if the Lions just keep blowing up under Matt Patricia. But let's face it, Dallas-Seattle is the banner matchup in the late games. Jets-Colts, what else? We got Carolina-LA. Hey, you know what? Actually, of course, the storyline there is you get to watch Justin Herbert, who looked really good against
really
Kansas
good,
City.
And for whatever reason, wasn't immediately named the starter moving
and
forward.
Tampa-Denver. Denver loses a little bit of luster because of their injuries, but of course, it's still Brady, and you're trying to see how the Bucs look on Brady and everything. So those are the 4 o'clock games. You know what? You know what the storyline of the Sunday night game is now. Green Bay, New Orleans. What's the first thing that comes to mind?
Devontae Adams, whether or not he's playing in that game.
Wrong.
Okay. Can Drew Brees?
Does Drew Brees have it anymore?
He looks shot.
Right. I mean, that to me, I know Green Bay's 2-0, and their offense looks great. Aaron Rodgers, and people were wondering about what's going to happen in Green Bay this year. That might be. Mm-mm. It's Drew Brees. After the first two Saints games, what is going on with Drew Brees?
And my question is, how long until it becomes a serious discussion of, is Jameis Winston. A better, does he give our team a better opportunity to win? Because you can win some games by dumping it down to Alvin Kamara 10 times a game. I get it. I think it's got value. Mm-hmm. Eventually, teams are going to start to cue on Kamara, and they're going to force you to stretch the ball. And with or without Mike Thomas, he has not looked like the guy that we have been accustomed to seeing Drew Brees, who we've known. He hasn't been the guy with this big, you know, deep ball or like some crazy, you know, arm strength. Yeah. That has never been Drew Brees' game. But like, he looks like he struggles to get it 10, 15 yards.
That's why I think with quarterbacks, like I'm trying to think in recent history, the guys that...
He reminds me of Matt Leinart towards the end.
Oh, boy.
Where he was in Buffalo and you were like... In that preseason, you were like, can he hit that out route?
See, I think, because like last year you realized, maybe even before last year, but last year for sure. Eli, thanks for coming, buddy. Great career, but, you know, you could tell the writing was on the wall for the Giants and Eli Manning. You know, they draft Daniel Jones, but you could see Eli's game had really fallen off.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know how Rivers and the Colts will play out, but last year it looked like Philip Rivers was shot.
And he has not looked good. They've been putting a red zone quarterback in the game.
And...
So
we started to talk about Brady that way last year, but it's funny. I think as the season went on, it became less about, hey, is Brady shot? And more about, ugh, what do they have around Tom Brady? You know, what do they have?
Look pretty good, though.
But right. And that's why I think the Brady story, well, that's why Tampa each week is so fascinating, because you can't use the, well, what kind of weapons does Brady have? He's loaded in Tampa Bay. If he doesn't look good with those players and a coach that is perceived to be one of the better offensive minds in the NFL, then the whole that discussion we were having last year about Brady being shot, he'd be shot.
The other interesting thing about Tampa, Rob Gronkowski signed up to be a blocker.
Yeah, he's not doing anything.
I don't know about that. That's what Bruce Arians said. He really sees him as the elite blocker of the group, and it's like, hey, I get it, but you're talking about the best tight end of all time.
But in that group, he also has Brait and
OJ Howard. I get it. He's the only Hall of Famer of the bunch.
I know.
You don't sign up to come out of retirement to be the team's primary blocking tight end.
Okay, I guess I'd ask you this. If you had to make a pecking order, a chart, in order, priority, of receiving weapons with those two tight ends, with Gronk, with Godwin, with Evans, where's Gronk in that list?
Right, where should he be or where is he?
Both. Answer both then. Where should he be? Three?
I think he should be three. I think he's five right now.
I was going to say he might be.
I think he's five.
No higher than,
Because right. O.J. Howard's in front of him.
And the two receivers are in front of him.
And you can make the case that Scotty Miller's in front of him.
I always forget the kid. That's the kid from Bowling Green, right?
Yeah.
He's good young player.
Good young player. He's their other outside guy.
Yeah.
Godwin plays a lot from the slot. And, yeah, like I think he's truly fifth in the pecking order. And I just that is not what Gronk came out of retirement for. I'm telling you that. Like, you know, I don't know how that ends up playing out. But if they, you know, are 6-6, which... You know, they don't look like the quote unquote Super Bowl contender that I think everybody penciled them in as. They just have not looked like that early. It's very early. Godwin missed week two with a concussion. Mike Evans is probably not 100% starting the season. Brady's in a new offense for the first time ever. Fournette's looked good.
Yeah.
He's gonna be their starting running back pretty soon. Otherwise, you know, that offensive line's really good too. But they have that offense has not looked you know, great. But the point here was Drew Brees and that Saints offense. And again, you know, like if you've got fantasy wide receivers, like I've got Emmanuel Sanders, one of my leagues, and I'm like, do I start him? I mean, there's no other receivers, and I didn't start him last week. And boy, he had one catch. They're not throwing to wide receivers. Also, did I see a stat right now that 8 catches through 2 games, either 6 or 8 is the number for San Francisco by wide receivers through 2 games.
That. Yeah, I did not see that.
Garoppolo is not throwing receivers. They don't have anybody right now. But yeah, I don't know. That was just a random stat that popped in my head. Like you, I'm senile and things just pop right into my head.
Here's a stat: if you're playing Bills receivers on Sunday in fantasy, if you're using it, the Rams through the first 2 games have yet to give up a touchdown pass to a wide receiver or a tight end. They've only given up 1 touchdown pass total in 2 games. Zeke Elliott. So for what it's worth, you know, Diggs, Brown, Beasley, all this stuff, they haven't given up a touchdown pass to a wide receiver or a tight end yet.
Lots of good games. And who even cares about that Monday night game? That won't even be fun.
I don't even remember who's
in it. I immediately forgot it.
I'm going to do my best to stay up as late as I can for Kansas City.
That should be a good one.
Should be a great
game. That should
be
a really good game.
It is M&T Bills Fan Football Friday. Bills, Rams, we're breaking down the game all morning. We're talking about it with you. How do you think it's going to play out on Sunday at the stadium? You can let us know. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. Anything else you want to get to, that's fine too. Murph will give us his Bills-Rams matchup insight when we return. It is M&T Bills Fan Football Friday, brought to you by M&T Bank, the official bank of your Buffalo Bills.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
John Murphy's appearance on WGR is being brought to you by M&T Bank, official bank of Bills fans, by Dunn Tire, official tire of the Buffalo Bills, and by Sullivan's Brewing Company. From Ireland to Buffalo, the best ales in the world.
Murph, coming up just a moment to get you some headlines first. The Bills and their practice report. Who did not practice yesterday? We're talking Zach Moss, Dawson Knox, and Delshawn Phillips. Limited, Edmonds and Milano, and John Brown was added to that list on a limited basis. Sean McDermott, we'll see if there's any update from him on the injury front when he joins us about an hour from now. Cam Akers, running back for the Rams, did not practice yesterday. Dolphins beat the Jaguars 31-13, 3 TDs for Fitz, 2 in the air, 1 on the ground, 1 rushing. Curtis Lazar gets a 2-year deal from the Sabres. The Stanley Cup Final continues tonight, Game 4. Tampa and Dallas. The Jays clinch a playoff spot with a win over the Yankees last night at Salem Field. The Lakers beat Denver and lead that series 3-1. In college football, more conferences coming back. Pac-12 votes to return. Mountain West votes to return for fall. And the MAC has a vote scheduled for tonight. Those are your headlines. Bills and the Rams on Sunday. Nate's here hanging out with us, and John Murphy's joining us on the Western Hotline. Of course, Murph and Steve Tasker and Sal Capaccio on the broadcast Sunday right here on WGR. Good morning, Mr. Murphy. Happy Football Friday. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. Thank you.
Yes. We are too. Well, 2-0, Murph. So let's start with what looks to be, on paper, a very intriguing matchup, potentially high-scoring game between two offenses that are doing very well through the first two games of their seasons.
Yeah, I think so. We don't, for whatever reason, and there's a laundry list of reasons, we haven't had a lot of games over the last several years where you anticipate a shootout. I think there's going to be kind of a shootout. I really do. They're good defenses, Bills and Rams, but really a couple of offenses that have really hit their stride. And the Rams, they're 2 years removed from their Super Bowl appearance, and they've been good for a couple of years. 9 wins last year, they dropped off a little bit. But I think they've retooled a lot in this past off season, and they're operating at full speed. They were really impressive watching them the way they beat the Cowboys and then beat the Eagles last week, and just impressive how their offense looks like a well-oiled machine. And I think you could argue some of the same things for the Buffalo Bills offense so far this year.
Yeah, I think you're right, Murph, and I think it's funny, like the whole concept of the high-scoring shootout. There were too many times over the years where if the Bills played a team like that, we'd be like, okay, let's go defense. Let's try and keep this game in maybe the low 20s. But now on paper, it sure looks like the Bills have a team, have an offense, that if they get into a run-and-gun affair, have the ability to actually put up points to win the game.
Yeah, and nobody wants to get into a run-and-gun shootout, but if you're in it, it's nice to know that you can win those once in a while. And I think the Bills have demonstrated they could do that. Now, again, the Jets and the Dolphins, not the best opponents, but it's a great way to start this season with two confidence-building, confidence-boosting victories. But you'd rather have it so your defense holds somebody in check and, you can win with 21, 24 points. But it might not be the case, especially this week against a very good Rams offense.
It's a really interesting portion of the schedule, too, John, when you look at it. You know, I think they held serve, so to speak. I don't think anybody's surprised to say they would go 2-0. They're better than the Jets. They're better than the Dolphins. And now you get into the stretch of the schedule with the Rams, with what looks to be a good Raiders team now, and then a trip to Tennessee, and, of course, the Kansas City game. These next four games, I think it's the next step up for the Bills. You know, we're going to learn a little bit more about where this season can go based on what happens in this next four-game stretch of the schedule.
Yeah, I agree. You know, by the time they get through these next four games, they'll have a pretty good sense of where they are and what to think about the season. And of course, the fourth of the am I reading this right? The fourth of the four games is the home game against Kansas City, Thursday night game, which a lot of people are looking forward to. I look at that as kind of a bellwether game for the 2020 season. But they'll be challenged much more than they have been the first 2 weeks by these next four opponents, including the Raiders and the Titans. But I think they're probably up to it. I think, look, when you put the Rams and the Bills on the field, you probably got two, at least, of the NFL's top 10 teams so far this year. So it should be a great game.
Murph, when you look at the Bills' offense against the Rams' defense, what are the biggest concerns? Because I think, you know, there are certainly two guys that jump off the page. They would not have faced a destructive force like Aaron Donald through the first two games, and they haven't seen a cornerback who plays at the level of Jalen Ramsey the first two games. But I guess delve a little bit into the Bills' offense versus the Rams' defense and what grabs you about that matchup in particular.
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Donald is certainly the force to be reckoned with. And Jalen Ramsey is good, great, one of the best corners in the game, the highest paid corner in the game. But that's why you have John Brown and Cole Beasley, you know, if Jalen Ramsey can do a number on Stephon Diggs. But I don't know what you do with Aaron Donald. I've watched him really dominate the Cowboys' good offensive line a couple of weeks ago and a little bit of success against the Eagles. But he's a handful. And, that Bills offensive line, I think, is still – they played pretty well, but they're still finding themselves. They've experimented with some different personnel combinations the first couple of weeks, and he will be, Donald, as everybody says, he can be a game wrecker. He can change the course of a game. The Bills got to make sure that doesn't happen, and especially on the interior. It's one thing if a guy's an outside pass rusher and you can adjust and, make moves to kind of take an outside pass rusher off his game a little bit. Much more difficult with an inside guy like Aaron Donald, who he does, you look at him, he's not physically imposing, he's certainly big enough, but He's not physically imposing, but he's just a great player with great great hands. As Sean McDermott said the other day, one-line answer, he's a wrestler, you know, and you can see how he brings all of those skills to the position. He's the best in the last several years at the inside defensive line position. He will be, I think, the key matchup for the Bills, that guy. And what they do with him, I think, you know, it's up to Mitch Morse and Quentin Spain and that group and whoever they're going to have at right guard. I would think probably Cody Ford. I think they're going to have their hands full with Aaron Donald.
You know, I think the interior offensive line, Murph, is a story. Maybe it's not front burner for a lot of Bills fans, but you're right. I think Sunday will be interesting to follow whether or not there's a rotation again. Was that just because it was hot in Miami? You know, they went into the season saying, we want to get the five best guys up front on the offensive line. And in game two, they're now rotating at both guard positions. So I'm curious about that. And then you factor in if, when Feliciano comes back, I think he's going into the starting lineup. He's got to be one of their best five. How does that impact Spain or whatever is happening at left and right guard going forward? It is a story to watch.
Yeah, good question. I think Feliciano is probably, for my radar, it's kind of on the fringes of it at least, not quite on the front burner. But that rotation they had going on against the Dolphins was interesting. Sean McDermott asked about it earlier this week, said it was not just because of the heat. You know, yeah. They're looking at different combinations, which is unusual, I guess, into the season. It's an unusual season, though. They didn't have a preseason to work out kinks and see who fits best. And I'll be honest with you, I think, you know, Darrell Williams at the right tackle spot is a guy to keep an eye on. I don't know if he's got that spot locked down. I don't think he's played blue ribbon football for the first couple of weeks of the season. But again, it's an unusual year because things are still coming together, even as we make our way through the early part of the regular season.
John Murphy with us on our Western Hotline, Bills-Rams Sunday here on WGR. Let's flip it around, Murph. Now the Rams have the football, and the Bills are playing defense. I know injuries are going to be part of your response here, what's going on with the linebackers for sure. But what do you think are some of the key issues in terms of trying to stop the Rams offense, which has looked good in the first two games?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, when I watched the Rams' first couple games, and the offense is prolific and they're making big plays, and you think, well, who's the key guy here? Who is it? Is it Jared Goff? I don't know. Is it Robert Woods? I love Robert Woods, but mm-hmm. I don't think he's a guy who creates matchup issues. The key guy, I think, is Sean McVay, to be honest with you. They are a well-oiled machine. They run plays at a very fast pace. They seem to know exactly what they want to do. A lot of play action, like the Bills offense, and they know exactly what they want to do, and they're all pretty well-schooled in getting it done. I don't think, you know, the tight end, Higbee, had, what, three touchdowns last week? I don't think he's a matchup that you worry about. Cooper Kupp is a really good, reliable, dependable, steady receiver. I don't think he's a spectacular game breaker. They don't really have game breakers on offense, but what they have is a plan and a well rehearsed plan. And I think you got to look at the head coach and the offense he's instilled there now going into his fourth season. I think he was hired like the day after McDermott was hired, right? Back in 2017. I think he was hired the very next day.
Well, and again, a lot I think is riding on what happens with Edmonds and Milano. I think, you know, I think you could have, you know, as we saw, you could still beat Miami without those two linebackers. But now you're stepping up in terms of the offense you're facing. We know some of the issues with the middle of the field in terms of pass defense. And I also think in terms of the running game, if both can't play on Sunday, I think that's a real big problem facing L.A.
No, you're right. I skipped right over that, but you're right. And that was really a problem. I think most of the problems the Bills had on defense against the Dolphins were because of the absence of those two. They are critical components of Buffalo's pass defense, both those linebackers. Milano, because of his range, he can run, go sideline to sideline, make plays, he can cover. And Edmonds, because of his size and his length, I mean, he just takes up a lot of space and block. I mean, a lot of the people talking about Levi Wallace this, Levi Wallace that, a lot of those slant passes to Devontae Parker last week were in areas that you wouldn't be able to get to because Tremaine Edmonds would be backed up and clogging up that lane. And as active and as energetic as Tyrell Dotson and that group were last week and A.J. Klein, you miss Tremaine Edmonds when he's not in there as a pass defender. I think that is a critical question in this game.
Can I make a request for something? Do you take requests? Can people email and say, hey, Murph, I got something I want you to bring up with Tasker before the game. Can I do that?
Sure you can.
Because with his, honestly, it is a storyline. One of the things I was thinking about, John, when it comes to this game, the forecast is calling for maybe some pretty good wins on Sunday at the stadium. And Tyler Bass is a rookie kicker, and I'm curious what it's like with Steve's expertise going through special teams here. What kind of a learning experience? I know they practiced in the stadium, but they didn't have any preseason games, and this is the first, you know, somewhat windy performance. You know what it's like at that stadium with the winds? It's hard to get a handle on it, and I wonder what Sunday's going to be like for Tyler Bass trying to go through that learning experience, as every Bills kicker and punter does at some point.
Yeah, I'll bring it up with Steve. I'm sure it's something that he's kind of helped guys through and during his long time here in Buffalo. Yeah, Tyler Bass, I'm sure, spent a lot of time over in the stadium this week, but maybe not replicating the conditions on Sunday. It's a battle of rookie kickers, too.
Right.
Sam Sloman, seventh-round pick for the Rams, is getting his first look at the winds of Orchard Park. So, you know, who cracks first might be the story of the game, right? You never know, but that's something to keep an eye on, two rookie kickers going head-to-head in this game.
All right, Murph, enjoy the game Sunday, and we'll talk about it with you on Monday.
Great. Thanks, Howard.
That is John Murphy on our Wester Hotline, his segment on Football Friday on WGR, brought to you by M&T Bank, the official bank of the Buffalo Bills, by Dunn Tire, official tire of the Buffalo Bills, and by Sullivan's Brewing Company from Ireland to Buffalo, the best ales in the world. 7 a.m., breakfast with the Bills. That's when it all starts, our game day coverage Sunday here on WGR. 8 o'clock on game day. Jeremy with, I don't know, there's another guy who's on the show. Quite honestly, he really doesn't bring a lot to the
table. He's off, so it's just me this week.
Oh, man.
It's just me. I have to be on.
You're doing the show solo?
Solo.
Oh, I got to listen to you for like 4 hours? Aren't you doing
game day? Yeah, easily 4 hours. So if you hate me, you're really...
I'll just watch the F1 race.
Yeah, no, it's smart.
Yeah, because, I mean, I can't take 4 hours.
No, who could?
Eight to nine, I'll listen, and then I'm flipping on the race
at
9 o'clock.
Yeah. Well, Louis DiBiase does a great job for Breakfast with the Bills.
Okay, so Louis's cool.
So you can wake up early.
He's talking.
Yeah, wake up early.
Yeah. So Nate's here for all that. 1 o'clock, it's the Rams and the Bills. After the game, show up in the Bulldog, and then, oh, geez, Nate's back again. You still doing the overtime show, too?
And halftime. Don't forget about halftime. Don't you dare forget about halftime.
Well,
but yeah, overtime,
you know,
as well.
What? I'll clean up the neighbor's dog poop at halftime or something.
That's
like
a good
that.
Idea.
Maybe that's
a good idea.
It's a pretty close choice there, really, if you put the two together. So that's,
yeah.
Hey, when we get back, the smoking story of the week in the NFL. And guess what? It's right here in Buffalo. We'll do that in a moment. 803-0550 to join us. Give us your Bills Rams predictions as Football Friday continues on WGR.
He doesn't look anything like he did coming out of Wyoming right now. I mean, he looks like a much better player, completing a much higher percentage of his passes right now. And he's really not just spreading the ball around, but, you know, he's finding the open receiver. And I think any young quarterback struggles a little bit to kind of read coverage and figure out where to go with the ball. But that looks like he's come a long ways here in the last couple of years. And it really shows in the way that he's playing the game right now.
It's former NFL lineman Brian Baldinger. He was on with us the other day. Someday this week. It's in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. It's time for the smoking story of the week. And the Football Friday smoking story of the week is brought to you by Heron's Landing. Why would you want to pay more? You don't have to look very far.
It's an easy one.
The smoking story of the week is here in Western New York. It is Josh Allen. It is the passing offense of your Buffalo Bills. Did you know, Nate Geary, that if you looked at the NFL stats this week, you would find the Bills passing offense is first in yards per game, first in 20-plus yard completions, first in 40-plus yard completions, tied for second in touchdowns, fourth in number of completions, yards per attempt, passing first downs. Josh is even eighth in quarterback completion percentage. The smoking story of the week is this incredible
the right arm of the quarterback
offense and the quarterback and the weapons. The depth of the weapons.
Depth of weapons.
At the receiver core.
He throws it to eight guys a game. Two games in a row, they've had eight-plus guys with receptions.
And he can do that by halftime.
Yeah.
You know, and Diggs has been as advertised.
Mm-hmm.
He leads the team in targets. He leads in catches. He leads in yardage. And you know what? Even as that has happened, as Allen is looking more at Diggs, John Brown and Cole Beasley are still very good at what they do. The top three that we looked at and thought, hey, can we say that this is the best or one of the best top three in the league? Yeah, they're in that discussion. You know, the minute the Diggs trade went down, we all thought about how best top three around here since the heyday of the 90s. And it is one of the best in the league. And it's playing out through the first two games of the season. Josh Allen looks really good. The passing offense looks good. Brian Daboll is calling a tremendous game plan. He's using four receiver sets, which with the depth of the passing group, the receiver group, I'm sorry, you should use those the 10 personnel look, and he's it's been very effective.
4 and 5 wides, bunch sets. They use the entire field. Like they run a lot of tight 4 wide sets. Gives the wide receivers options to go to the sideline with room. It's, you know, when you've got wide receivers in these spread packages that line up all the way at the numbers, it's basically they're going deep or they're coming inside. So they've really got they've got some nice diversity in how they run their scheme.
I think also in terms of matchups, Nate, and we'll see how this plays out on Sunday, but the Bills look to be a team that can beat you in different ways. Like, do you play man against them? Do you play zone against them? They've beaten both in the first 2 weeks of the season. Now, look, the whole man discussion might be if you have Jalen Ramsey or if you have Baltimore's cornerbacks or if you have a great pass rush or maybe you have a guy like Aaron Donald that is so disruptive, your man guys don't have to stay with these players forever. I mean, Miami tried man and it was just kids play.
Yeah, and you want to run zone, then the play action's really going to hurt the zone because it's going to pause those linebackers for the second necessary for Josh to be able to kind of get it over the back or over the top of them in the linebacker. So it's kind of pick your poison. And this week you're going to see more zone from this LA team. So we'll see, you know, but at the end of the day, running man coverage against this Bills offense seems like fool's gold.
We'll talk more Bills Rams coming up in a moment. We want to hear from you. Phone lines are open, 803-0550. You can chip in with your prediction, your thoughts on what's going to happen Sunday at the stadium. It's M&T Bills Fan Football Friday. Are you the biggest Bills fan? Tweet us your video at WGR550. Use the hashtag community of Bills Fan to be M&T's Bills Fan of the Week. M&T Bank, the official bank of your Buffalo Bills.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.